As Maria Elena said, my name is Serena Clayton. I'm the director of the California School Health Centers Association. We're a statewide organization advocating for school-based health centers and other types of healthcare in schools. So I want to start by asking, in general, how many people are familiar with school-based health centers? You've been to one, you work in one. Okay, all, most of you. So that's great. I'm excited to share with you my revelation that I had. I've been in my job for 8 years, and it's one of those revelations that once you have it, it's sort of like, duh, how could I have been doing this work for so long without having understood things in this way? When I first started this work, and I would try to explain to people what a school-based health center is, I would say, just as a shorthand, well, it's like having a doctor's office in a school. Okay, so that's kind of clear. And I think that my first exposure to school-based health centers was really in college and in graduate school, because most of us, if you go to a residential college, there is a health center there. And it was at that time that I realized after graduate school that I had gotten the best health care of my life while in graduate school, because the health center was right down the hall. And it's very easy to do things like get a flu shot and, you know, get your regular pap smears and all of the stuff that's pretty easy to put off when it's not convenient. So I was pretty much sold the first time I heard about school-based health centers in K-12 schools, just on the basis of access and convenience. I thought, this is just great. It's a great idea. It's a smart way to get health care to kids. And so I would talk about, you know, having a doctor's office on a school campus. And it was sort of more recently, as I went out to school-based health centers and I listened to their stories and I heard them talking about what they do, that I realized it's really a lot more than that. And the potential for school-based health centers and the role that they can play in our healthcare system and in terms of public health is really much more interesting than just providing convenient access to care. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. And I've created these slides, which is the first time I've used them, so we'll see how they work. So this is a depiction of the traditional healthcare delivery model. So all those blue things are people, kind of people out in the population. What do? I push this? Okay. Oh, I hit the mouse, okay. And those represent medical providers. So we have our communities and we have medical providers sprinkled out through the community. And most of us these days are in some type of health plan. And in your health plan, you're usually asked to pick a doctor. So people pick their doctors. And you might pick the doctor that's close to you. Other people might decide, for whatever reason, that they want to pick a different doctor that's not the one that's right, you know, closest to them. And sometimes even with one family, you'll have a husband, wife, you know, parents, kids that end up choosing different doctors, often for good reason. And so you end up with a situation where, you know, people are moving around to get their health care. What that means is that for any one healthcare provider, their patient population is very scattered and has no particular connection to each other. You know, there are people that live in different places and that are not really part of any defined community. So with a school-based health center, you have, let's call these the kids, and it's a different way of approaching, you know, thinking about healthcare delivery. It's really a place-based model. And so you look at, well, here's all these people, and they're all together in one place, the school. Well, let's put healthcare there where they are. So it's a really different way of thinking about how to organize healthcare. And it's the potential, that the things that you can do when you organize healthcare in that way that are very different than what you can do when you have the previous model where the patients are all sprinkled out across the community. And I'm not going to talk a lot about the policy issues today, but of course, this isn't really the way our healthcare system is organized. So we're sort of fighting an uphill battle, but we're fighting the good fight with school-based health centers to make this model work in our current reality. So school-based health centers have this ability to think both on a clinical level in terms of what happens in the exam room, and that's important. Obviously, quality medical care, what happens between the provider and the patient in the exam room is very important. They also have the ability to work at the center level, and this is true for community health centers as well. You know, there are things that happen in the health center that are not part of the clinical service, but are, for example, health education groups, or, you know, smoking cessation, different ways that, you know, materials that are in the health center, counseling that you can have with a health educator, peer education programs, things that take place within the walls of the health center. And then you have the broader school. So the health center is situated in the school community, and the health center has the opportunity to take advantage of the community and the structure that the school offers. So, for example, you can send things home in, through the school information distribution system, the stuff that gets stuffed at the bottom of the backpack and possibly never sees the light of day. But still, it is a system for distributing information. You can do school-wide events. You can have school-wide screenings. You can have competitions at schools. We've seen great examples of schools doing things like, Health Idol. So like a takeoff on American Idol, but the test, with the competition was around sort of being the healthiest and doing the most push-ups and that kind of thing. And then there's the broader community. And there are a lot of school-based health centers that extend their work into the community. Not as frequently, but definitely like looking at issues around food deserts and liquor stores and advertising and that type of thing. So I'm just going to give, in my remaining minutes until Maria Elena shuts me down, I am going to give some examples of some different programs that I have seen in California that are doing this work, just to give you a sense of what it can look like. And I'm going to use the categories that Janita put up when she had that slide with the middle of the protective factors, and she talked about early detection, chronic disease, and safe environment. So early detection. This one is probably the most intuitively obvious. An example that was shared recently by one of my board members who runs a clinic in Chula Vista, which is a community south of San Diego, so right on the border with Mexico, in a high school, a young man who was from an immigrant family, undocumented, uninsured, pretty severely overweight, and sleeping in class, basically falling asleep in all his classes. And the teachers are pretty much annoyed by that because it is annoying when people are sleeping in your class. And so they referred him to the health center, and it turned out that he had massively, massively uncontrolled diabetes. And I don't know exactly why this is, but when you have very uncontrolled diabetes, you have to urinate a lot. So he was getting up in the middle of the night, all night, to go to the bathroom. And he had no health insurance, and his family was undocumented, so all of the issues around fear of seeking care when you're undocumented. So they were able to treat him in the school-based health center, and they got his diabetes under control, his energy level improved, his performance improved, and he did graduate from high school. So that was a big success story. Now, the providers were still a little unsatisfied because they felt that they had not established a regular source of care for him outside of the school-based health center, and so they felt like, this was great, he graduated, but our work wasn't quite done. And so it's just an indication of all of the challenges that people face. Establishing a regular source of care for an undocumented person in San Diego is not going to be an easy thing to do. But it was a great intervention and still more to be done. Another example on early detection that I share a lot because it's so eye-opening to me is from San Jose, which is just south of San Francisco. There was a school-based health center actually in the school district office, and the school bus driver had been driving the same kids to school for over the years and years and found that there was a young man who was stumbling as he got on and off the bus, and it was different than what he'd seen before. And so he thought, this is funny, and he went to the health center and he said, you know, Johnny is just looks different. So the health center got in touch with his parents and they brought him in, and long story short, after multiple tests, that many of which were not done outside of the health center, it turned out he had an early brain tumor. And it actually was treated. And so it was such an eye-opening example to me because it was the bus driver. Like, whoever thought the bus driver was part of the healthcare system? But the bus driver can be part of the healthcare system when you organize care in this way. Okay, so I'm going to have to skip quickly. I'm going to skip over chronic disease because we've probably heard a lot about managing asthma and things like that. It's kind of intuitively obvious that if you have clinicians on a school campus, you can provide like on-site care and manage chronic disease. I'm going to quickly give an example of safe environment, and this comes from a school-based health center also in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's sort of an example with mental health services. They have mental health clinicians. They're providing individual therapy, so that's very much a one-on-one model in a room, right? And the clinicians talk among themselves, and they say, you know, our students are talking a lot about racism. This is interesting, and this is a very mixed, ethnically mixed school. And they said, well, let's get them together. So they actually got the students together in a group. Again, which wouldn't be possible if you think back to the model where you have a therapist and the patients are all in different places and don't know each other. Because they're in a school, they get the patients together. And they start talking. They say, well, let's do a survey. Let's do a project. And so they did a survey of attitudes among teachers and students about racism and racial issues. And these students were all, I have to say, they were not the high-achieving students on the school. They were students who were labeled as defiant, sort of the problem students. But they did this, and they did this survey, and they presented their results to the faculty and to the student body. And there was no formal evaluation of this project, but a lot of the teachers said that they learned more from that process than they had in their many years of schooling, because the students identified things like, the white students feel comfortable in the classroom, and that's their safe space, and in the rest of the school, they're not feeling comfortable. And the students of color feel disrespected by the teachers in the classroom, and so they kind of capture the space that's outside. And a lot of this very interesting dynamics that had never been discussed in the school. And the second part of it that was interesting, just for the students themselves, they switched their role around from being the problem kids, the defiant kids, the acting out kids, to being the ones who were up in front sharing information and the ones who were being a resource to others. So it was really eye-opening for people in the school, and I'm linking that to Safe Environment, which, again, no evaluation, but we hope that interventions like that can create a safer environment on a school campus. And so I'm out of time, and thank you very much, and look forward to questions.